Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you.
This is my friend Brooke, and it's good to say an official title that she is really over all of Hillsong Worship, which anyone thankful for Hillsong Church and Hillsong Worship? And Brooke, I want to keep telling you how honored I am. It's always been, honestly, like one of our little bucket lists that you would come and be a part of it. And so it's so super cool finally this year to have you at our 9th conference, last time at the Fillmore. So now when you come, we'll be at the arena next time, but it's cool for you to see the space. What are you feeling so far being here? You enjoying it?
Scotty and I have loved you and DC for a long time now, and always wanted to come and experience VU Conference and VU Church, and it has exceeded every single one of our expectations. And can I brag on my friends for a second? Leaders don't reproduce what they teach as much as they reproduce who they are. And I think that this conference and this team and this church are such a testimony to who you are. The generosity and sincerity and humility and joy. And DC's joy is a weapon. When the word says that the joy of the Lord is our strength, that's not a flimsy thing that's going to cave under a lot of pressure. Joy is a weapon. And I think DC's life exemplifies that more than anybody. Your prophetic leadership, your incisive wisdom, your ability to unpack a scripture and to paint it as a picture and help people then step into the picture is masterful and anointed. And we are so grateful for you.
I love you. You're so very kind. I love you. I thought maybe we would just start, because most people kind of know the public Brooke and the worship leader Brooke and also the artist Brooke Frazier, who has got some of the best music ever. But can you maybe just take us back to meeting Jesus? Like when you lead and everything you do, you do it with such passion. Like, where does all that come from, that force that you bring into every moment that you step into it?
Our worship pastor at Hillsong Church for many years was Darlene Sheck, who's such a gift to the body of Christ. And Darlene always used to say something that has always stayed with me. She said, always remember your BC life, right? BC AD. Always remember your BC life, your before Christ life. And I'm thankful to say that my BC life haunts me in a good way, because I have never forgotten the metallic taste of the emptiness of life without Jesus. And every time I open my mouth to worship him, it's with the memory of that metallic emptiness and the memory and the knowledge and the conviction that I am not there anymore, that once I was dead and now I am alive. And that's why.
It's beautiful. When it comes for you, I'm just curious, and I think other people are curious, like songwriting, like, where does like the initial idea come from typically for you? Like some of my favorite songs, Hosanna, like, I don't know. Like that's, anyone remember, come on, Hosanna, like that, you know. I see a near revival. Oh my, that still fires me up. Every sermon, I just like, it's Hosanna, you know? So can you maybe just, because I think there's people in here, like just maybe those initial ideas of like where that comes from.
I think this might be a bit crass. Forgive me if you get offended. Forgive me in advance. But songs are like poo. So whatever you feed yourself is what is going to come out. And so, right? Well, you could say life is like that. So scripture is the answer to that, you know. So I love to read, and I love the Bible. I have a messed up back because I carry far too many translations with me at all times, and then the extra translations on this. Like, why did I bring these? I don't know, just in case.
I like that.
Right?
Like that.
Just in case. I don't know what's going to happen.
Got your swords.
Yeah, got my swords. Yeah. And that was more like, I don't know what that was. That was like knife throwing. Yeah. That's where I was going, like those ninja stars, you know? What was the question? Oh, yeah, songs. Okay, sorry. Yes. So, books and scripture and meditation and chewing. And I think as well that songs are not only like poo, but songs are almost like a ground that are fertilized by the manure of life. Mm. And I think and when it comes to worship, I think that one of the special things about the house that I'm planted in, Hillsong Church, is that every single one of our songwriters, they're not these people who are disengaged from ordinary life. All of our songwriters are people who are either serving at church as volunteers, you know, part of our core team or are on staff. But they're not, none of us are on staff to write songs or anything like that. We are in the business of building church and being alongside people. And church is built around meals as much as it's around meetings, right? And so when we're having meals with people and walking through seasons with people and them walking through it with us, there's that scripture in the Old Testament says, where there is no oxen, the stall is clean. In other words, where there's life, there's mess. Right, you can have a clean stall, but it means there's no life there, because where there's life, there's mess. And that's the reality of humanity and being in church. And I think all of that manure, for all its stench and warmth, fertilizes, is a fertilizer for songs. Yeah.
No, it's beautiful. And I think on Isn't that it? Note,
I've never written a song yet, but I'm gonna one day, yo.
One of the things that I think has always inspired me about your life, I think for us as a church here at Miami, I know we've got so many people, VU Conference is much more than just VU Church, but, you know, just even Friend of Sinners that we just gave out, I think the conviction of that message is that we want to be a church that engages culture. We don't want to run from it. I think that far too often the church is always like in retreat mode, and it's always easier to kind of remove yourself. It's always messier to engage and to infiltrate. And you're one of these kind of people that, where I've been inspired by your life is you've managed this tension in this beautiful way where you, and I don't even like these words, but it's the best way to describe it right now. It's like you have your secular music, Brooke Frazier, that's an artist, that's been an artist for a very, very long time, but also always engaged in local church. And for me, like, I think people are always like, Rich, you know, what's your mission? What do you really want to do? Do you want to, you know, be a communicator and speak and write books. I mean, that stuff's all cool, but really when you cut me open, what I love is I love the local church. I love community. I think the local church is the hope of the world. I can say that a lot, you know what I mean? But that's kind of like what I've always done. You vacillate between both of these worlds in such a beautiful way. And for me, from the outside looking in and from our time together, such a conviction to stay planted, connected. Sometimes these words become cliche because we just all know them now. But you stay, here's big words that we don't talk about, stay under authority. Can you weigh into that for a lot of us that are in this place? Because we've got all sorts of people, and I want us to see the capital C church move forward. But we need local churches. We need people that are going to go, you know what? Like, I don't church hop. I'm part of this house, and I'm sowing into this house, and I give here, and I've got a pastor. And you've done that so well, and I don't know where the revelation came from. Can you just speak on that a little bit?
I will try. you know, Jesus isn't coming back for parachurch ministries. He's coming back for a bride. And our Psalm 92 says, those who are planted in the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Psalm 84 says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. And the church need every single one of us to be planted, to be healthy, to, I guess, you know, Scotty and I have always had a conviction that the church will have us forever. There will be seasons of life where the external may look different, but the constant will be the church. The constant will be us being planted in the house of God, because we're building something for, I've always been inspired by the Hebrew midwives, Shua and Pua.
I don't know about it, but I want to learn.
So it's like, it's basically like these Hebrew midwives, and they were called Shua and Pua, which is so beautiful. I should call my next child Pua. We're not having another child. They were the midwives in the time of Moses, where there was the order to kill all the baby boys. And it said, these two midwives, and they're mentioned then and then never again, but it said that they basically would save these baby boys who were being born, and would kind of had, would cover their births and kind of basically why I love them was because they had a commitment to the next generation, that they understood that their calling was to cover and protect and to make a way for the next generation, that God would rise up. And us being planted in the local church is how we do that. That's how we midwife the next generation into being the Church of Jesus Christ. And honestly, I also have to give honour here to our senior pastors, Brian and Bobby. I can honestly say that I know that in our church, in our church family, that they love me for who I am more than my gift. Mm. And that's what the church has to do as well. We have to love people more than for what they can give, you know? So there's been seasons when I've been able to be really involved, and there's been seasons when I haven't been able to be as involved publicly, still privately, or not privately, but still kind of off the platform, plugged in, keep out of everything. And they have been completely gracious in that, and their commitment to us and our marriage and our family and our lives going forward has remained unchanged. So it's not so much what they've said as what they've shown us through the past 14 years now, is that we are more valuable to them and to the church than any gifts or abilities we might bring. Yeah.
For you and Scotty, how have you managed that tension of going, I'm called to both.
Yeah.
It's not an either or, it's a both and. Is there any maybe practical handles that you guys have gone like, that's when we know we need to put more time in over here? Like, how have you figured out how to diversify maybe your efforts in different seasons?
I think, you know, we haven't done it perfectly. I haven't done it perfectly. Scotty's pretty perfect, actually. He really actually kind of is. It's crazy. He's the good one. We've definitely done it clumsily, and there's been many, many errors that I have made. But I think, I guess Jesus, someone asked me a few weeks ago, like, what would you say to, you know, young people who like want to follow their dreams? I said, don't follow your dreams, follow Jesus, you know? So it's not so much that it's ever, now it's time to do this or now it's time to that. Every day, the mission is the same, follow Jesus. Every day, the mission is the same. Go out into the world and make disciples, baptizing them in my name. Like, every day, the mission is the same. I have given you power to be witnesses unto the ends of the earth. Like, every day, the mission is the same. And whatever is in our hand in those seasons, we attempt, by the grace of God, to steward it with wisdom. Like I said, we've made many mistakes, but it's very simple when you keep it simple, when you keep it, Jesus, how do I serve you today? How do I serve the people around me today? How do I follow your voice and be obedient to you today? And it kind of, it takes the need for... kind of all this mental striving and strategizing out of it. There still must be planning and strategy and wisdom and prayerful attention to those things, but we just try and follow Jesus.
I'm concerned maybe at times that, no, it's so good, Brooke. I love this. But I think you just said something that's like so profound, and people sometimes, what I'm learning is that we get accustomed to hearing things in church and it can become like white noise. It's like, yeah, I know that. Like, the fact that you just said, don't follow your dreams, follow Jesus, that's so counterculture. Like, that's so counterculture. The Bible says in Romans, we're getting ready as a church to study Romans, and I'm reading, and it says that God gave them over to their sinful desires. As if to say, one of the worst things that could ever happen to you is for you to get what you want. And I don't know, like, I see you as such a leader in the church, the global church for sure, and I see you as such like a warrior in the spirit. Are you concerned? And I'm not trying to go negative. We're going to keep it faithful, but I mean, are you concerned that there is a bit of that we continue to domesticate sort of the radical call of Jesus? Like, just even right there, like, that stuff can be said, and then we don't consider what that means to die to my dreams and follow Jesus. I actually believe following Jesus leads to your dreams above and beyond and exceedingly immeasurably more than you could ever think or ask. But it's the paradox of this whole thing called the gospel, right? Die and you find life.
Yes.
Serve and you lead. Give and you'll ultimately get. It's this whole paradox thing. How have you seen that play out in your life, and how do you feel like that's maybe something that this generation's missing? Do you think something that we're grasping and getting hold of? Have you been encouraged watching the church? I'm just kind of curious about your observations speaking around that subject.
Yeah. Whew. Just light questions here.
I'm sorry.
At the conference this morning. No, it's great. Do you want me to tell you five things? I'm just kidding.
Brooke and I were, I can't tell that story. I think it's kind of funny. Brooke and I were in London, and God bless them, we had the best time. And I was like in an interview like this, and this guy, he asked me a question. He's dead serious. He goes, Rich, give us five things to reach the millennials today. I was like, five things? And I'm like, be passionate. And when I say be passionate, they put up one behind me, passionate. And I'm like, be generous. Like, I don't know what to say, you know? Vision,
and then people
commitment.
Are, like, taking photos of the screen, like, this is what I'm going to build my life on.
Yeah,
like, and you're just like,
making this stuff up as we go.
This is amazing.
So,
he was
give
so
us
gracious.
Seven things that the Spirit
was amazing,
is saying to
by
you.
The way. He was amazing. I was like, oh, my gosh.
It was bad.
I just
love where you're going and the fact that of what you're saying in terms of just even on that topic. I guess my question is this. Do you feel like at times that people are maybe coming to church but not realizing the call or the cost of following Jesus? It's probably a good way of saying it.
Certainly, I think sometimes we treat the presence of God like a tourism thing. Like, we live in LA and there's all those TMZ vans like driving around with people like with binoculars, like looking at people's houses, like treating, like, I don't know, it's like a zoo. It's like so bizarre. But sometimes I think that that's, you know, they pull up outside celebrities' houses and try and see. And sometimes I think that that's how Christians treat God. Like, you know, they like pull up outside his house and like try and get the binoculars and get a glimpse of him. And he's like, the door's open, come in, you know? It's like DC spoke so articulately and passionately this morning. He doesn't want to entertain us, and he doesn't need us to entertain him. He wants us to look him in the eye. I was talking to one of my friends who's from South Korea, and I was just asking her about, you know, we all have these lenses with which we approach our relationship with God and the kingdom, right? We all have the way that we were raised, the cultures that we were raised in. I was raised in New Zealand, which is actually a very different culture to Australia. So the lens with which I approach certain things is different to even my husband. The way that my family dynamic was affects the way that I communicate in my own marriage. And we all have these lenses, right? But I think... we all have these lenses, but the cross of Christ is the great equalizer. So we must constantly place ourselves there. And I was talking to my friend from South Korea, and I was asking her, like, you know, how does your cultural lens like affect the way that you approach God? And she said to me, she said, one time I was praying and all of a sudden I saw a vision of myself like kneeling down and begging God for things. She was like, because in my culture, you know, you there is absolute authority and you respect absolute authority. And I saw myself kneeling in this vision. She said, I saw myself kneeling down and begging God for something. And she said, and then in the vision, I felt a tap on my shoulder and I turned around and it was the Lord. And he said, he said her name and then he said, stand up and turn around and look me in the eye. And I think that we all must try it, not dig into self-awareness so much that we become this like introspective, like reflective person that never does anything. But I think we also have to be aware of the lenses with which we approach God and ask him to bring correction and adjustment, you know, so that we can see clearly through all of these filters with which we see things. And so I think the Holy Spirit is a great helper in all of that. Sorry, I took a long time to say that.
We can see things so blurred, and sometimes it's just because the lens isn't focused. We focus through Jesus. I do have to ask you, and I don't know if you'll like this question, but it's been kind of a cool year for you guys, and I'm kind of pumped about it. You wrote this song called Beautiful Name, and it
With Ben Fielding,
and it won a Grammy. Come on, can we just go ahead and thank God? I mean, that's pretty cool. You
You went to the Grammys and you won a Grammy. And I know we don't like do things for man's accolades and man's approval and statues and awards, but can I see your Grammy? Can you maybe just talk about the experience? I think it's, I know it's not why you do it, but it's really cool and I like it.
Actually, it arrived in the post a couple weeks ago, but like, I don't know what to do with it.
You're not traveling with it? I would never let that thing out of my sight. No, I'm kidding. So, what was that moment like for you guys?
I think, look, there's two things. There's the, with something like that, I think there's the external stewardship and the internal stewardship. So, externally, it's an opportunity for the gospel. And so, I mean, even, you know, in my Brooke Fraser world, New Zealand is my homeland. It's where my music career began 100,000 years ago. And so there was a lot of coverage about it there. But that meant that people were listening to that song that never would have listened to that song before. So it's an opportunity for the gospel. We knew, Ben and I knew that if we were, if the song was to win and we were to stand up there, that we had maybe 20 seconds with an audience of people to express gratitude in a way that would honour the Lord and perhaps plant some seeds. And so we were very prayerful as to how we should do that if we did it. So there was the external stewardship of that. And it was honestly, it was so cool because afterwards we had all of these people coming up to us and speaking to us about their own experience of the song or the way that our remarks had affected them or whatever. But there was a guy who came up to me and he was like, my band is nominated in the metal category. And I am he's like an ambassador for one of the big cymbal companies. And he's like, whenever I go around the world and do drum demonstrations, I do a metal version of What a Beautiful Name. Which
metal version?
A metal version of What a Beautiful Name. I don't.
What a powerful name it is!
I can...
What a powerful name it is! I don't know if that's metal. That was something.
That was good.
That
was good. And then, another lady came up to us and she was nominated in the classical category. She was this really sweet woman. Her and her husband came up to us and shared how they go to a little Roman Catholic church outside of New York and that they lead their song like... They lead that song at their little Roman Catholic church, like most weeks. And so it was really sweet. So there's the external stewardship and then there's the internal stewardship. And that's, I think, what a lot of this life with Jesus is about what no one will ever see, but what you know you have to sort out on your own heart. And so for me, the internal stewardship of that was important as well, because particularly with worship, you know, worship is a, worship, in terms of worship music, obviously all our life unto God is worship, Romans 12, etc. But when it comes to worship music, I think that in the church and particularly, honestly, in this country, and I can say that because I live in America, I'm part of Hillsong LA, I love this country and I'm here for good. I got a green card, I got two American kids, it's a whole thing. But you know, we have to be careful because there is an industry around worship that speaks the name of Jesus. And that's a dangerous thing. And those of us who are involved in that in any way must be very, very careful to steward that with purity and with humility. And because we are dealing with glory. And when you're dealing with the glory of God, I mean, you see all through the Old Testament, you know, Uzzah stumbled carrying the Ark of the Covenant and he was dead. D-E-D, dead. You know, so, and God is not, let me say, God is not less holy today than he was then. He is not less holy today than he was then. His presence is no less sacred than it was then. And we only get to enter by the blood of Jesus, by the highest price that was paid. So we enter boldly and confidently, as the word says, but we also enter understanding that we are entering the presence of a holy God and that we only get that access by the blood of Jesus. And so if you're a worship leader, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but just don't forget that you're dealing with glory. And we can never forget as worshipers that we were made to give glory, never, never to take it, never, never to hold it, always to give it. Can I say one more thing about that? I've been reading this amazing book called 40 Days of Decrease by Alicia Britt Chole, who wrote the book Anonymous. I recommend that book to every single person. It's called Anonymous by Alicia Britt Chole. Anyway, she wrote this book, 40 Days of Decrease. It's taken me like 120 days to read because it's like ridiculous. But one of the things that she says so beautifully in one of the chapters is she talks about what to do with praise as a person. And she says, every time somebody gives you... gives you a compliment, she says, don't deflect it with false humility, but she's like, take it and collect it like a little flower and tuck it in your pocket. And then she said, at the end of the day with that bouquet, get on your knees and give the bouquet to God. And I love that so much because the glory of God is really, it's like Lord of the Rings, you know, like, you know, glory is like that. But seriously, if you put on the glory that is meant for God, you will end up like Gollum on the inside, is what I'm telling you. You will end up in the pit, like with no tan and no mess. But you know, we were made to give glory, never to take it. And only you can know when that's happening. That's an internal stewardship thing. You can go through life and people will think you're humble and amazing, but inside you know that you're ferreting some of that glory away from yourself and it's slowly poisoning you. So we must be a people of God who learn to give the glory, give all of it back. Otherwise it will destroy you. That's the end. Sorry.
Come on, that's beautiful. Right now, and I hate like leaving people out of the room by talking about VU Church, but I'm just talking about our journey recently. A couple weeks ago, we had a worship night, kind of our first ever doing a worship night, because obviously we put some songs together from our house. But I shared a message that night. I just titled "How to Fight My Battles." I like that song that's out right now. But I talked about, for me in my personal journey, that it's the Holy Spirit who helps me fight all my battles. And I talked about my prayer life. I talked about my worship time, reading God's word. And I talked even about my prayer language. And that's something I haven't really shared publicly with our church all the way. And not because I'm not proud of it or not because I'm not even bold about it, but just because I want to bring people on the journey enough, and I've seen it at times so misused and miscontorted in the church. Yet I felt very, very impressed to speak on it and to share on it. And so I did, and it was just a really beautiful night where I felt like the Spirit really began to, layer by layer, do things inside of us. And I really feel like there is a wave coming to the church of the power of the Holy Spirit. I was talking to my friend Ryan Good last night, and Ryan was here, and him and I were just chatting. I really think this generation is going to see signs and wonders. Don Cherie just said it so beautifully in this last session. You know, why would his name be Healer if we never need healing? And so that's who he is. And I'm not trying to get lists, but tonight we are going to worship, and I'm just trying to get people's hearts ready. Not because something weird or crazy is going to happen, but just I really feel like the Holy Spirit wants to fill people. I really feel like the Holy Spirit wants to move in people's life. And what do you feel like the Spirit's doing? What do you feel like we should be doing? When I just start talking about that, what's stirring up inside of you that you can just maybe share with us? Because I've been stirred up recently. In the past month, God's doing something new inside of me. And so I really believe there's more to come.
Yeah. I don't know, when you're talking, the amen, by the way. And also, we are such fans of VU worship, and so I think, no, it's so good, and your team have done amazing. How good is the EP, right? It's so good. And you guys are phenomenal, but as you were speaking, it made me think, you know, the Holy Spirit's not for people who have it more together than you. You know? I've been studying Lazarus recently, and the other night I was like, why don't I just ask God like what he thought about Lazarus? So I was like, Holy Spirit, tell me about Lazarus. Like, what was he like? And this might sound super weird, but I felt the voice of the Lord come. You know how sometimes you forget that you can actually just ask the Lord anything? You could be like, Lord, how many minutes should I brew my tea bag for? If you want, like, why not? Actually, my friend Rita Springer, she said that one of the ways she'll practice like hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, she'll be like, Holy Spirit, what will the weather be like tomorrow? And then she'll just try and listen like for what he says, which I just love. Anyway, so I was like, Holy Spirit, what was Lazarus like? And straight away I heard the voice of God come back, and he said he was an ordinary guy. And then I was like, he was an ordinary guy. And then it made me think about in Acts 4 when Peter and John have a miracle has happened, and Peter and John are speaking so eloquently about the one who actually did the miracle, who was Jesus, through them. And it says that the teachers of the law looked on and they said, they marveled at the way that these men spoke. And it says, then they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men who had been with Jesus. And we are just ordinary people with an extraordinary friend. And that's the Holy Spirit. So tonight and now and this whole day, you don't have to be more than you are. Just be your ordinary self and open your heart and your mind and your lips to your extraordinary friend. And just love on him because he has come to love on you. And let's see what he does. Yeah.
Come on, can we thank Brooke for all that she's sharing with us? I'm in just an eager anticipation for more of God. And I was telling our team the other day, we didn't come for performance or production. We came to encounter his presence. And you do this long enough, you know, you just going through the motions is just not worth it. We've got I love next year's theme. No one else is coming. Like, I want to live every day. I want to prepare myself, be ready. And the reality of it is that kingdom work is going to require kingdom power. And so I can't do it on my own. We need his spirit. I'm just going to ask that Brooke would just pray for us as we close the session. We've got so much more in store for today. And I sense him already at work here. I love different moments with God. I like being quiet with God. I like being loud with God. God, you know, he shows up in a whisper so often. He whispers because he's close. That's who he is. And so, Brooke, would you pray for us? And let's pray for a desire. You know, even when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, I just love the fact that it's just like, desire the gifts. If you love Jesus, now you just got to ask and desire. That's like the only qualification, you know, like love Jesus and desire. And so I just want throughout the day that we come in with eager expectation that God has more for us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for you and for the Trinity of you. We thank you for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the way that you reveal yourself to ordinary people like us. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you fill us, the way that you continue to fill us, the way that you heal us, the way that you expose us, Lord, not to shame us, but to heal us. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you teach us, for the way that you remind us of who Jesus is and the things that he has said, for the way that you help us and inspire us and give us courage to apprehend every single promise in your word. Lord, I thank you for the people in this room. I thank you that you have gathered this unique gathering, Lord, for today, for such a time in history, that you would fill us and speak to us in such a way that we would not be able to leave here the same way that we walked in, but that we would leave with a new revelation, a new glimpse of who you are and a new glimpse of who we are in you, Lord. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that would fill and overflow our lives, that we wouldn't be swamps, God, that keep your promise and your goodness to ourselves, but that we would just be vessels, Lord, that your power and your goodness flow through into our churches, our communities, yes, our workplaces, our families, our marriages in this world. We pray for the church. We pray, Lord, that you would fill your church, that you would purify your church, that you would activate and enable your church to do all the things that, Jesus, you have asked us to do in being your hands and feet. And we pray that you would be glorified, that as the name of Jesus is lifted high in our cities and in this nation, that sinners would come to repentance, that the blind would come to sight, and that just the disciples of Jesus Christ would go out into all the world preaching the gospel for the fulfillment of your redemption plan and the glory of your beautiful name. Bless these people here, Lord Jesus. Draw them closer to you. Help them glimpse you afresh and deeper and further and fuller. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our hands. More of you, less of us, more of you. We bless you, Lord, and we welcome you and everything you want to do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Come on, can we stand to our feet and can we thank Brooke Lidgertwood for being with us today? We love you so much, Brooke.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.